CliffCentral.com.
Okay, let's get CA in here. Come in here, dude. Looking good as always. My goodness. Some people are just, they're just born with a sense of style. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't personally know.
Some people just look good. Have you ever looked terrible? I mean, if we pitched up at your house tomorrow at like 6 in the afternoon and you just got home from appointments and maybe you were at gym or whatever, would you be looking like a slob?
Never. But I used to look very horrible like 3 years ago.
How?
Yeah, people just genuinely didn't like my style when I started out in the industry.
Pop on those headphones. Why didn't they like you? I don't understand.
I don't know. Dude, I used to wear
Are you an objectionable guy?
I used to be very extreme. I used to wear like kilts and stuff.
Yeah.
And I went through a very dark alternative phase.
But some people would,
myself.
Some people would say that's fashion forward.
Well, there's hype and there's real fashion. And I think most of the time in the industry, there's a lot of hype. People dress for Tumblr and stuff.
Tumblr? Who's even on Tumblr?
A lot of people
on Tumblr.
Really?
Yeah.
CRB is with us this morning. He's starting a brand new show on Monday, 11 o'clock from next week.
Yes.
You excited?
Yes, of course. I'm on the best, online radio station in the world. So, of course.
Now, what do you got planned? And what's the show going to be called? And give us some ideas.
Wow. The show is called The Threaded Exchange. It's a show for young black creative South Africans.
Right.
And it's basically about connecting the threads of what makes us relate to each other. We are all living in a time with the media, social media. We've been millennials, Generation Z, and we are all so different and alternative. But when you dig deep and when we talk, there's a lot that we can relate about when it comes to the way we consume, when it comes to what inspires us, what moves us. And most of the time, especially in the creative industry in South Africa, we always feel like we're unheard. So this is about just exploring that and just having conversations with people that I look up to and people that I admire.
Oh, that's cool. So you'll be bringing people in, having interviews, talking about stuff.
Yes,
going
and it's
going
to get a bit controversial. No topic is offline. Next week I've got Asana Suzani, who everyone knows as a fashion editor.
Yes.
But her and I always talk consistently about how magazines are dying and the direction is moving online. So her and I are going to have a deep discussion about that and where is fashion going and why is it that fashion critics in this country are afraid to tell celebrities why they're dressed badly.
Who are these people that are afraid?
Well, genuinely, I just feel like the industry in general, like I'm very frustrated with the South African fashion industry because I always feel like people tiptoe around each other. Like,
do they? So they're all trying to
like,
be friends.
For example, the Sun Made happened this weekend and people were just badly dressed.
Oh, did you go?
No, I didn't. I wasn't invited, actually. That's why I didn't go.
You weren't invited?
I wasn't. And it's so funny because like the people that work for the brand that had the event, they're like, why aren't you there? I'm like, you guys didn't invite me. So I just felt, I just always feel like this country needs proper fashion critics. We need to drive fashion forward.
So did you see some of the pictures?
I saw so many pictures.
Okay. Now you put yourself out there as someone who's going to be honest about fashion.
I have to be, yes.
Okay. So tell me about some of the people who were disgustingly badly dressed.
Wow.
Go on.
No, I'm not.
Hard.
Can I just highlight who was well dressed?
No, don't you be a hypocrite now. You said people aren't willing to say when someone dresses badly.
I will actually go in. I think Dinamo gets his boyfriend Solo, could have done better with
what
the
did he look like?
Well, he was wearing a suit, but he didn't fix the pants at the bottom, and I felt like that should have been.
Were they too long or too short?
They were too long. Like, you know when the pants
When it bunches at the bottom.
Yes. I feel 90% of the men that were there need to, look after their suits. Leroy Mark, who
the hell are these people? I've never heard of these people.
He works at another radio station. Mm-hmm.
Which station?
African something.
Okay, right.
He was wearing a blazer that had prints on it, and then his hair color was like purple. I don't know what was going on. It was just like too much. Lady X, I don't know, like, why you're wearing feathers all over your dress. Like, I don't know what's going on. Like,
do South African celebrities get styled?
Hang on, can I just ask, are these really celebrities? Do you know?
Well,
who they
I believe
are?
Like
I know Solo.
Okay,
yeah.
I think in South Africa you get A class, B class, C class celebrities.
Yeah. Right, so
they're all celebrities, but some of them are just not A class celebrities.
Because I've got to be frank, I don't know who these people are. If they might have even walked through here once or twice, I wouldn't have known.
A lot of them have actually.
Yeah, but I mean, just because you don't know doesn't mean they're not well known by the masses.
I read the papers. But I read the news. I'm online. I check out social media.
I don't blame Sufkin celebrities because we gas them up.
But what do they do to be celebrities? How are these people famous? I'm just curious. I'm not criticizing them.
I'm not criticizing anyone. But
do they have television shows? Are they well known? Do they, where do they add their value? I don't actually know.
But they're on press releases and all these things. And Anna Wintour is right. I mean, this day and age, because of social media, if you get 10,000 followers, you're considered famous and no one actually knows what you do.
Nice.
So we live in that era.
Does that mean you're famous, Ben?
We're hype beasts. We live in an era of hype beasts. Like, you have 10,000 followers, everyone calls you stylish. You know? So, So I really want to drive the industry forward and be that guy, you know, that criticizes, that's not afraid to say, you know, this is how things should be done. Otherwise, the industry will never move forward.
But you also, you want to give compliments.
Of course. I'm not a horrible person.
Who are the people who dress consistently well?
Wow. I'll say Kanye Mbao for me dresses consistently well. She actually really, really does. I think Bonang dresses well. And I think what I like about Bonang, whether what people say, love or hate about her, she's actually a star. Like, Bonang walks up the house and she's going to dress up all the time because she understands that she has a platform and she understands that she needs to think that way. Most people choose when to be on or off, you know?
Yeah, she's and on all the time.
She's on all the time, and that's what a star is.
Now, do you think that these celebrities, and let's take the upper end of the scale like Bonang, do they actually buy their clothes or do they get them for free?
They buy.
They buy them?
They buy. Like Ricky Rick, for example, buys his Gucci. Major League, they buy their Gucci.
But they must cost a fortune.
They do. Guys don't mind spending 200-300K on an outfit of clothing.
That's insane.
You know? It happens. Like, I've seen it.
If you had huge, huge money, would you do that?
I'll never have to do that because I work in fashion, so.
So what, you get your stuff for free is what you're saying?
Yes.
Jesus, imagine spending 200,000 rand on something.
I just genuinely think, like,
it's ridiculous.
In my line of work now, like,
I think they should take you to the back of the house and shoot you if you
generally
spend that.
I think brands should pay for my whole entire life. I just think, like, yeah. I just think I should never pay for anything. I should just invest all my money.
Well, you first got to make the money.
Exactly.
So, okay. So tell me what you're planning to do on the show in terms of, like, getting these guests in. What kind of people do you want?
Wow,
who do you want to talk to?
The people are just weird that I'm getting. I'm really getting just misfits. And I'm really mixing people from different industries. You know, for example, I'm going to get in Kagiso Rabada and Nasty C, you know, and talk about being a young millennial that is successful. And, you know, how do we handle money? Because we're all new money. I'm young. I'm new money. All the money I'm making is new. I don't come from family of money. They don't come from families of money. And what are the pressures of being young and successful? You know, what about girls? You know, how do you handle relationships? I don't know how to end relationships. I'm struggling. I don't know if they're struggling.
When was the last relationship you had?
Jeez. When was the last relationship I had?
Doesn't have to have been successful. It could have been a disaster. But when
probably
was the
beginning
last?
Of last year.
All right.
I was on and off with my high school lover for like...
And how did that go?
It didn't go really well. I don't even think it was a relationship. I just really liked her. And I saw her like once every like 3 months.
So what made it even a relationship? It sounds more like a friendship.
No, what made it a relationship is that we met in grade 10. We met in grade 10. We had lots of sex. But we met in grade 10 and then we just were always together. Something always drew us together. Like, I genuinely loved her.
Okay.
So anybody just
so why didn't out. was she difficult? Were you difficult? Was it time? Was it distance?
It's a lot of things. I just think like I have a very particular way of how things should be, and generally I think the curse of being my age and having all these responsibilities of running a company and doing what I do is that I expect people to have their shit together. You know, like, I expect people to have fun but also be focused. So I can't handle people that are like, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with my life. I hate my life. And they just want to sit
is
back.
That, is that
like,
the kind of... Because there are a lot of millennials who are like that.
Yeah,
they don't really know what's going
on.
So
I wasn't patient. I was like, I can't handle this shit. Like, you have to get your life together. Like, I can't do this. You can't be getting drunk 7 days a week. That's not a real thing.
Please, that's what Mabali and I do.
Well, we're all...
Well, guys, that's not a real thing.
We've been at this game for a while.
Yeah. We're just...
No, I can't do it.
Being young and successful, are there also concerns of what it is exactly that these girls find attractive in you guys? Like, are you constantly worried about, well, why is she into me? Is she into me because I'm a big name?
Yeah, there is.
Because I make this money.
There is. You're worried if someone is screenshotting your messages. You're worried if she's going to take a selfie after you have had sex. Like, it's stressful. You open Instagram, you're like, oh, this girl's really, really hot. And you want to, like, go in, but you're like, flip. What if she's, like, sleeping with, like, 10 other, like, celebrities? It's stressful.
Yeah, but that's what your 20s are about.
And also, it feels like we're in one. Also, the thing is, in Joburg, it feels like we are one big circulation. It feels like we're circulating each other.
Yeah, everybody's having sex.
Partner swapping. Eventually, that's what it is.
Eventually, there's going to be... it's 1 degree of separation.
Yeah.
Between you and everyone else has had sex with the same people you have, and it's just they swap them
around. Too much sauce. Too much sauce. But yeah, it feels like... That's why like I decided to like have a foot in New York. And like, yeah, I think I'm going to date internationally now.
Well, that sounds very exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's also hard work. Because then you got to keep it up over distance.
Yeah.
And the time zones.
And like, Trump is not really helping now getting to the States.
No, you could forget about
it. I'm actually afraid of that next trip. I'm actually afraid.
Well, I mean, as far as I know, there isn't really reason for South Africans to be concerned, right?
We're okay.
Yeah.
I'm going in March. I don't think we have a problem. I think it'll be fine.
But now I need to fly direct. I can't fly via Qatar, so...
No.
Like, I can't do that now.
For God's sake, don't do that.
Yeah, because I usually do that. Because I don't know, for some reason, I enjoy layovers. And I really like the
Qatar. You do? That's the worst.
I actually do. I actually thoroughly enjoy it.
And even you, you shop.
And also, you get a transit visa. So it means you can go into the country, and you can, like, chill. And Qatar always gives me a hotel that I can stay in and explore the country. So now, if I go to Qatar and go to the States, I'm like, why are we in Qatar? So I have to fly directly.
Well, I'm sure they understand that. It's not like you are going into Qatar, you're getting a whole lot of terrorist training and then moving on to the US, you know?
Yeah. Can I tell you something trippy?
Where's your phone, if that's your phone cover?
It's there. She's live streaming me right now.
Okay.
Yeah. Something so trippy. I was thinking the other day, I was going through my emails, and I remember I'd received an email about Cliff Central being open and how it was starting. And I remember I submitted to do a show.
Did
when
you?
It started,
That's like and almost came, 3 years ago.
Yeah, and I came for auditions, and it didn't work out. And it's crazy how like now it's like the perfect time where things worked out. I don't think I could have handled.
Who did your
doing
audition?
A show. It was Sia.
Sia Sangweni.
Sia used to do the slot where he used to bring in all these different.
Pretty clear what happened there. Sia wanted to be the only Sia. Sorry, you just not
He kept you out on purpose.
So yeah, I wasn't stylish during the time. I was still in varsity trying to do this fashion thing. So it's crazy how like
things still wearing your kilts.
Still wearing my kilts, and now literally it's actually exactly this time, like when I submitted my show. Actually, two years ago.
Jeez,
So, like, it's crazy how, like, it happened. Yeah.
Well, do you think it's going to be awkward when you see Sia now and then you're doing your
show? No, I've seen Sia a lot of times at events, and we talk a lot, actually.
Now, I am appalled that they didn't invite you to the Met, but what kind of events do you go to? What are the must-go-to events?
Events like that make me money.
Okay, and you must explain to me how you make money from these events, because that's the part
I go to events that my clients are doing, because a client is paying me, so naturally I'll go to the event because they're paying my check. I go to events that I feel that there's a purpose to be there, and I'm working, so I'll do Fashion Week because I want to see the trends, and I want to see what's coming, because then that influences my work and the direction of how I start my clients or award shows that I'm doing.
Right.
I go to music concerts. That's usually a signifier of, you know, just looking at the crowd, who's there, who's doing what.
Right.
But yeah, genuinely, I hate fluff events now. I was actually thinking the other day, like, being in the industry can also be very stressful, because you get a lot of people who have to go to events because they need the PR. And that's just so stressful. Like, you have to always go up to these events. But I'm grateful that, like, I don't have to do that. I can only go to events if I'm actually working or if it's a friend that I'm supporting.
Who do you want to have around you at these things? Because... sometimes it's who you're with, not where you are. That's important.
Most of the time, my friends, like in the industry, I always take my childhood friends to these events. Like my friends,
people who went to school with you.
Yeah. Some of them are in politics, doing completely other different stuff. So when they go to these events, they just laugh the whole time. They're like, this can't be real life.
Yeah, because they're cynical, right? They don't take it seriously, like people inside.
Yeah, so I really enjoy that. I think that's what keeps me very level headed. And that's why I don't take myself seriously, is because my friends don't take it necessarily seriously.
Do you think that the fashion industry doesn't have a sense of humor about itself? Like, they take themselves way too seriously.
The fashion industry is horrible. Like, everyone is so stuck up, and everyone is so serious. Like, you go to Fashion Week and you get like editors who don't have any sort of influence, not to be rude,
well, because
who don't actually understand fashion.
Because magazines are failing. Yeah, so, and who is influential?
Who is influential?
Who decides what is fashionable and what isn't? Like you mentioned Anna Wintour earlier.
You mean in South Africa or in the world?
I'm talking about here in South Africa, because in America and the world, she is the major power behind Vogue magazine.
Yeah.
And if she puts you in Vogue, it's a good thing. You will be successful. If she thinks you're shit, you're shit.
Yeah. I think in South Africa, it's hip-hop. I'm not going to lie. I think the industry, the majority of the fashion in South Africa is not influenced naturally by fashion people. Hmm. It's influenced by hip-hop, because that's what's big right now in terms of what millennials are consuming in South Africa, especially black African millennials. Like, the reason why your Ricky Ricks and your AKAs are huge, it's because, you know, of their music, but they drive a lot of fashion. How many kids now are into Gucci and showing off their style and wanting to expensive clothing because of that movement? And so some of the times I think, and that's what fashion editors don't understand, is that they think this is New York. They think this is Paris, where, you know, people dress the same. It's completely different here, and people here are cultured. People consume differently, and what inspires them is different. So I think most of the time,
but a lot of it is just crass materialism.
Yeah.
Like,
so I think,
you know, like having gold chains and things, and you mentioned Gucci and other brands. No, I mean, what's the point of Gucci if you live in like squalor the rest of the time?
Yeah.
You have an empty fridge at home, but you got a Gucci pair of shoes.
Who
cares, you know?
I mean, I think it's the funniest thing.
What a miserable life.
I think it's the funniest thing, like, because I don't come from a rich family, so the times when I was broke is that genuinely I used to be like, oh, I want a Louis Vuitton bag. Like, it's so weird when you live in dire circumstances, you really live this life of wanting things that you can't afford. It's actually crazy. Like, it comes across as aspirational. You're like, flip, when I make money, I really want to, like, buy nice things. That's genuinely how people feel in this country, because we haven't been exposed to that lifestyle.
I was in Cape Town over the weekend. I didn't go to the Met either. But
why are you not invited?
No. I wouldn't go if I was. I don't go to these things. Ask my buddy. A long, long time ago.
Do you like hike? Like, what do you do? I always wonder, what does Gareth Cliff do?
None of your business.
he locks himself up in his house, and if you approach his property,
he'll
point a gun at you.
Yeah. He also masturbates to Miss Universes.
Yes, yeah. That's
I didn't think, like, you're like in the CIA or something. Like,
I'm just, so I was at this thing, and these four dudes from Nigeria came up. Now, they were dressed to the nines. The one guy had like velvet slippers on, beautiful shoes with like fake, obviously, but gemstones on them. Like, just beautiful and big chains and like the most bold pattern, colorful shirt, sunglasses, very unique looking sunglasses. You could see that either had them made for them bespoke, or they were bought from someone who nobody else knows to buy from.
Yeah.
But just really, these guys are dressed to the nines. And I was very impressed with them.
Yeah.
I thought they're making a huge statement.
Yeah.
So help someone like me who doesn't put a lot of thought into what I wear.
I think when it comes to someone like you, you want to have fun. You're a functional dresser.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily dress for style, because you don't have to really impress anyone. But I really think have a uniform. So dress what's comfortable. So I know my uniform is, I love jeans. So I'll wear skinnies, ripped jeans, whatever. I love boots. I always wear boots.
Everybody should just wear jeans,
and
right?
I like,
it's easy to
do. Yeah, and I like tees. So I only wear plain tees or monochromatic tees.
Yeah.
And jackets, that's my uniform. That's what I wear all the time. So I think if you don't want to be stylish, or you don't want to be overexert yourself by trying to keep up with the trends, just wear what you're comfortable with, but just be consistent. Just by being consistent, you can be considered stylish. Like, look at Steve Jobs. He wasn't stylish, but he wore the same thing consistently, and that's become a Steve Jobs thing.
Becomes like your own brand extension.
Exactly.
Now, what about fat people? What can they do?
Fat people don't look great in clothes.
So they look better without...
Like, I'm not being rude, guys, but I don't know what to say. Don't put me on the spot. So
we're not saying anything. We're just
But
listening.
My definition of fat is, like, humongous.
Yeah, so. I mean obese. Let's
obese.
Say obese people. I'm not saying a little bit overweight.
Yeah.
So obese people, let's look at them for a second. Because you say they don't look good in clothes. But then the alternative is even worse if they are naked.
Okay, let me just say this. I think usually obese people don't dress well for their shapes. So someone will be wearing like skinny jeans, and like you can see all like the rolls coming out. It's too much.
Yes.
Muffin tops. It's stressful. I get stressed. I'm like, ah.
Okay, but explain.
I think it's generally more difficult for very large people to find things that will look good on them.
Can I tell you what? Just drape. like just wear things that don't show your shape, you know. So just wear like flowy dresses and yeah.
Okay.
Or just go to gym and just lose a bit of weight or and that. Then wear nice clothing.
Or that.
Or that. Karen, this is too much. I'm going to be in trouble for this interview because like I'm being lit right now.
Yeah, you're going to be in trouble a lot of things here. So just
I think, yeah, when my show starts, and people don't know. I think like I'm afraid what people are going to say because they don't know how crazy I actually am.
All right, but you're single at the moment, so you're busy keeping your options open.
I wouldn't say I'm single.
Oh.
I'm dating, but
that gets interesting.
Right. I'm seeing people.
Yeah,
I'm exploring.
Options, you
How
know?
Many people?
I'm exploring life.
Okay.
He's young, Gareth.
Of course. I'm not judging. I'm trying to find out what's going on here. People want to know.
I'm talking to people. We're just chatting WhatsApp vibes.
Now, on the WhatsApp, does it lead to sex fairly quickly or does it take a long time?
I've had like social media hookups. Like that's the thing. It happens. Like you'll DM someone on Instagram and then today you're like sleeping with them. It's crazy.
It's brilliant. It's like, in one day, right?
Yeah.
Have you had that happen often?
I used to go through a dark phase. I think last year that happened a lot.
Like, but you called it a dark phase.
But
it
was. I was such a hoe. You're becoming a big deal. I mean, like, people
but
know.
But now I've stopped now. No, like, I had to get out of my system.
People know your name, so I would imagine there would be quite a lot of interest, and there would be a lot of offers.
Can I actually
today,
tell you something?
3 p.m.
I actually go for actually very alternative women. Like, I love women in corporate who are older.
Really?
So I've had, like, corporate, like.
I think you want a sugar mommy. Like. So she could buy you all that
like
stuff.
Like, 30 and older. I can't relate to girls my age. They want to go to the club the whole time. They want me to spend money on bottles. And like, they want me to Instagram them. And I'm just like, ugh. No, like, that's not a thing. A lady who's 30, she doesn't need your money, doesn't necessarily need anything from you. She just wants a young, sexy guy.
She wants a Ben 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're happy to be that?
My mom found out, and then she slapped me.
Oh.
And now I can't. So.
What did she say?
I'm celibate this year. I'm taking time off.
Yeah, I don't believe you.
For as long as you can last.
To focus on my creative adventures. No, seriously, like, I've decided to reevaluate my life and be serious now.
What is, for you, the big, like, picture dream? Like, where do you want to see yourself in 5 to 10 years from now? Where do you want to be? Who do you want to be with? What kind of things do you want around you? What sort of career success do you want to have achieved?
I think most importantly, I want to create an empire through my company, The Threaded Man, that houses the best black youth talent there is in Africa. And we direct content. We tell our stories our own way. We run the narrative of the future of Africa through content. So whether it's been making movies, whether it's writing, I just want to give more young black people a platform. If I can hire and help, you know, those young black people create better lives for their families and making the creative industry more accessible, that's what would make me happy. And I think generally, I also want to be the guy that sort of works with international brands or helps, you know, the international market understand what Africa is about and where Africa is going and fight for Africa and fight for being black and fight for being young and African. You know, most of the time internationally people think we are not capable, or just because we come from South Africa, we are all like Zuma, or like, you know, there's all these like crazy notions about us after Africans. Like when I was in New York, I was like, I'm from South Africa. Like, they're like, oh my God, that's so sad. Like your president is doing the most. Are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. You know, so genuinely, I just think like as Africans, we need to control the narrative and be in charge and not and make the world look at Africa from inside out, not outside in. You know, not all of us wear prints, for example. No. I hate that about fashion. Like you'll see an African fashion cover and it's going to be some Puerto Rican model who looks black and she's wearing prints. And yeah. It was shot in Ghana. And it's like, and then I was like, oh, how incredible. Fendi loves black people. No, like we need to tell our own stories. We need to choose our own models. So I want to be the guy on the forefront of that. I want to be the guy that talks to Enwinter about, listen, you need to be conscious of putting more black people, more Africans on your platform, because there's Africans all over the world. So, yeah. And I think also generally, I'm in a place in my life where I'm also changing the mindset where most of the time, like as black people, we always complain about how white people are not giving us a platform. And I'm just like, listen, let's just build our own platforms.
Yeah.
You know, and I hear people like, oh, Spider-Man should be black. Let's make our own superheroes. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's not try.
But
and,
also, I mean, like
you know,
this, you're quite fixated on the black thing. It's a big deal to you.
It is. I think it is. I think because of where I come from the Eastern Cape, and I watched, you know, a lot of talent being lost, especially not just in my within my family, but also within the village that I grew up in, and just seeing like how if these people just had a little bit of opportunity or someone that cared, how much they would do so great and how much they would change the country. So I think that's what's fixated on. I also think I'm fixated on black women because my dad left my mom and I was raised by a strong black woman in my family. And I felt like, and I feel like, you know, I want to put more black women in corporate, and most of my team is black women.
Black females. I remember you said in an interview a while ago, and you actually got some heat from people.
A lot of heat from people.
I mean, you should be able to hire whoever the hell you want.
Yeah. But I do have men, you know, in my company, but a majority is black
women.
They
clean the toilets. So what are the women? The women do the important stuff.
Yeah, they're actually right. I also think I don't run my own company. I feel like I take directorship from them.
Yeah.
I'm just the front end.
You obviously run.
Yeah, of course.
Now, how did you get to this? You're only 23 years old. I mean, you said you come from the Eastern Cape. So what happened in between to get you to a place where you now are being recognized? You're starting to, you know, make a real impact.
Yeah. I think number one is the way I grew up. I grew up between the white and the black culture consistently because I went to Wamba Boys High School in Cape Town.
Good school.
Yeah. So, and I was at boarding
school. Ben went there as well.
Yes. Like 100 years ago.
So both of you are uneducated.
So I grew up literally, I would be boarding school for 3 months and then my mom would shoot me off to the Eastern Cape. So consistently I grew around the spaces and I started seeing the holes in each spaces. So what black people would complain about, what white people would complain about. And I was like, oh my word, I'm becoming this breed of a black person that is growing up between these two sections. And when I used to go to the Eastern Cape, I would be called a Model C or a coconut. Yeah. When I'd go to, you know, the white spaces, they'd tell me, oh, you're not like the other blacks. You're different from the others. So consistently, I always felt like I didn't fit in. And then I started realizing that there's quite a lot of us young black people who were born 93, 94, who are actually consistently exposed to all these different cultures and genuinely marketers, genuinely the world doesn't understand us because we are now African millennials who are not necessarily, you know, we are in touch with our culture deeply, but at the same time, we are very, very extremely modern. So I think my passion started there because I started realizing that gap. And then when I was in matric, because I wasn't really that clever, so no university accepted me. I remember reading through a GQ magazine and being like, oh my word, like who's talking to people like me, you know, who wanna, you know, be modern, but still have their culture. And that's when the threaded man or the idea of the threaded man started. And then I enrolled at fashion school. And through what I was learning at fashion school, I started finessing, you know, the website. But long story short, my big break came when I had to drop out of school. I didn't have money. And Dion Chang, who had been reading my website, was like, listen, you actually have a talent. How about you come work for me and do research and do all those kind of things? So I worked for him.
Now, there's a stylish man.
Yeah. I worked for him for about 6 months. And then afterwards, I just felt like, you know, he runs his own company. I just felt like, ish, I want to do my own thing. I don't want to, you know, work under someone else for their dream.
Hell of a leap to take in your 20s.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm blown away by that. That's courageous.
It's because I didn't have anything else.
Yeah, you know, it was necessity.
I had to survive. Oh. I didn't have options. It's crazy how, you know, when you don't have anything else, you're actually more creative because you have to find ways to survive or find ways to do things or find ways to find opportunities. Like I'd go to SA Fashion offices and just be like, listen, come, I need to intern. And they would allow me. So I literally forced my way into the industry.
Good for you, though. There's a lesson in that. Like more people should pay attention to stories like yours because everybody thinks these things come easy.
Yeah. And also, genuinely, I think it's also driven by authenticity. I really, really get love what I do, you know, and most people think, it's about fashion or the glamorous life. But I really think that fashion plays an important part in our society because it's an identifier. You know, through what we wear, we are able to signify who we are and send out a strong message. And I want to help people find their message. I want to help people find their identity through fashion and style. And whoever works with me, that's what I always try to push. You know, who are you? What do you represent? What do you stand for through what you dress? Whether we like it or not, is that Gareth, when you look at a lady or when you look at a man, the first thing you look at is how they dressed. It stands out. You can't ignore it. If someone is dressed topless, you're going to notice that they dress topless and that's going to make you feel uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
So fashion
uncomfortable,
does.
Uncomfortable, no.
Yeah. And fashion does play that important part. And fashion, No, fashion will never be out of fashion because no one will ever not be dressed.
Right.
Oh, we pray.
So, I think that's what is driving my passion consistently. And a lot of young, you know, South Africans connect with my story and connect with what I do and its authenticity. And I think that's why it's successful. You know, not because I'm extremely talented or I'm this great person. It's just that I did something that's real to me and people just, you know, like that and want to vibe with that.
Who would you really like to be given the assignment to help? Like if someone came to you and said, I need you to dress me, who would be your prize?
Babes Odumo.
Babes Odumo.
Any day. Oh my God, they're ruining her.
Are they?
Yo, I get so annoyed. Like she looks like this like township geisha Barbie. And she'll be wearing like pink boxing shorts. Like it's too much. Like if Babes would, like I would do her justice. Like I would make her like this like South African Rihanna. Like I have such a vision for her. Like it's like they're ruining her career. I don't like what they're doing with her styling.
Very strong.
Mab's
very
powerful.
No, and I want the world to hear this. Like Babes, call me. Yeah. Babes, call me.
Get on the phone, woman. You got someone here who wants to help you. Someone who cares.
Yeah.
I love it, dude. I just, I think this is going to be fun. Monday, 11 o'clock.
Yeah, Monday, 11.
I look forward to it. Siabile.
Yeah.
And a pleasure to have you here, dude. Well done.
Thank you so much.
And honored. Let's keep on having success from you.
Yeah, let's do it. And
keep making a difference.
I'm excited about Cliff Central this year.
I love it. We're very pleased to have you on board.
Thank you so much.
All right, bro. Nice to see you. There we go. Siabile, everybody. Coming up in a little while, Gilan Gork is going to teach us how to be mentalists. He's going to teach us to figure out exactly when someone is deceiving you. And what kind of body language you need to use to project the right kind of attitude. All the stuff that matters. I could have beer for breakfast, my sanity. CliffCentral.com